But what format is this recorded? MP3? Well, to some extent, I don't read Croatian.
Yeah.
I know you have a magazine which has been going on for quite a few years now, and it's widely read. Well, among devotees,
yeah.
it's how many copies do you print monthly? Krishna Katha magazine. But how many? 150. Yeah. So that means about maybe 600-700 people read it, at least partially. So that's quite a lot of the devotees, and pretty much most of the devotees probably. A lot of them get to see it. It must be quite influential. Do you send it overseas at all?
No.
You don't have any overseas subscription? You can ask, and it's up to me to.
Personal,
social, and devotional. Okay. Why did I join? I joined out of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. Called. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Good luck. Kind of theoretically searching for something. Yeah. Well, I'd seen a few people, I'd been to a few groups that didn't impress me at all, and I'd read a bunch of stuff which didn't impress me much, and the scriptures impressed me, but then I didn't believe there was anyone who I knew if I was going to do anything I had to follow something. I couldn't just work it out myself, but then I was skeptical about finding anything. So when I got Krishna book, I read that and I thought, well, because I knew there was the temple in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor. I'd seen it on TV. Not that I watched, I didn't used to watch it. Yeah, what's that? Yeah. Do you want to try getting it sent with Hanuman first? You can upload it on you, send it, and then give me the. Which one are you talking about? Yeah. See if you can upload it with Hanuman. If not, you can give it to me. If you upload it with Hanuman, just. Yeah, right. Okay, so. I knew there was, I'd seen it on TV. There was not that I didn't used to watch TV, but I was reading a book and the TV was on, and I heard something about Hare Krishna, and I looked up and I watched about 3 seconds on the news, 3 minutes or so on the news. It didn't really mean anything to me at that time, but it just registered that it was in, somehow or other, that it was in Lechmore Heath in Hertfordshire. That somehow or other I remember that, because it's the same county that I was living in. So then, anyway, I read Krishna book and I thought, well, At least I should check it. At least I should check it out. I thought there's no. It's not very likely that people are actually following anything seriously. How did I get the Krishna book? It was in the house where I was staying. So I read it and then I thought, alright, I better go and check it out. I was living in Ireland, so I went back to England. And I think I looked on a map. I went to my father's house, which was in Hertfordshire. And then I can't remember whether I looked it up in Ireland, but anyway, it was very close. It was within cycling distance. It was about 10 miles or 12 miles from my father's house. So I cycled over one sunny afternoon. My bicycle was still there. And typical English weather, by the time I arrived, it was snowing. I only had a shirt on. And I got a puncture. So I was forced to, and there's no way to mend a puncture on a Sunday afternoon in a village. And so I was forced to stay overnight. Anyway, I discussed with devotees and they convinced me. I thought if they could, if anyone could convince me, then I should take to it, because you just can't be hanging out on a fence all your life searching. That's bogus. So you have to do something. If there's something to do, you should do it. So I said, if anyone could convince me philosophically, I'd take to it. So they did. And my question was, so many people say they've got the way, why should I accept you? So he said, well, first of all, it should be based on scripture, which I already accepted. And then there should be God, because all this impersonalistic and Buddhist things, I hated all that already. And they're vegetarians and reincarnation, which I already accepted, vegetarianism and reincarnation. That also made sense. That the idea that God throws you in hell forever. That by the grace of my Christian upbringing, I became an atheist around the age of 11. Working with this God guy, some real nasty guy. And then I thought later, well, maybe they got it right, there's God, but they don't understand it at all. And reincarnation makes sense, it gives you more chances. So it all made sense, and then the prasadam was good. And and then the next morning when they got me up, I'd just hardly fallen asleep. And then the cold shower, and then Mangalarti, freezing cold, and everyone dancing. And I thought, these people do it every morning. They're serious, that's what I need. So that's it in brief. I have to tell you all the all my mental somersaults and all my wanderings through the latest tunnels of samsara. I don't think it's necessary to talk about all that. All the stupid things I did. I'm not one of these born saints, and when I was born there were angels playing violins, nothing like that. Nor was I an exceptionally degraded person. Just people ask me about my previous practice. Just not normal, degraded person, that's all. Not exceptionally degraded. No signs of saintliness then or now. Oh, it's very difficult to say, because everything about... What's impressed me most about Srila Prabhupada is very difficult to say, because everything about it is so impressive. But repeatedly, I am overwhelmingly impressed by the statements in his books. Just this morning, Srila Krishna was reading from the purport, and Krishna is the supreme controller. I mean, just... It just seems like a very ordinary statement, but the way Prabhupada makes it, it's like that complete conviction and knowledge and just the emphasis. It may seem like a very simple statement, but just the way Prabhupada makes it in the most straightforward way, it's immensely profound. The reality of it bringing the conclusions of all the shastras and all the acharyas in just straightforward English, which is understandable by everyone. Just getting in every line and every word, getting the essence that we all need to know, everything very clear. So, difficult to say, but Prabhupada's books are very impressive to me. I don't know, I can't say. Even if I did say, I wouldn't say that probably. Pre-planned approaches to Prabhupada, generally that didn't work either. Devotees were going in with a rehearsed thing and then Prabhupada would, you know, completely change it, or they'd completely change their whole idea upon seeing him. No. That's in my book, My Memories of Prabhupada. What is my main message about the book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? Well, to a large extent, I haven't been trying to give my message in there. I'm trying to relay his message. My message would be read the book. Well, in the book itself, I wrote why I wrote about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's because his personality from the very beginning was very attractive to me, from the very beginning of my days in Krishna consciousness. And it also, this project of writing this book, as I also write in the book, it kind of happened to me. I didn't envisage writing such a big book, and I probably wouldn't have taken it up if I'd have known how much work it would be, but it started off as something small and gradually grew. It had a life of its own, as they say. I started off just, I thought I'd collect anecdotes from his still living disciples before they all passed away. And then I thought I should add a biographical section, because many of the devotees who might read the book, they wouldn't. I thought I'd put a short biography, because many of the devotees who might read the book may not be familiar with the background of on which the anecdotes are to be understood. And then I, like this, I gathered quite some material. Then I met one devotee in Russia who told me you should meet some other devotee who'd done a lot of research on Buddhism, and just he'd read a lot of stuff, and I met that devotee, and he directed me to various articles, and he gave me the scanned files of the Gaudiya magazine, old magazine of the Gaudiya Math, and we discussed various topics, and then he said, you can look in here, look here, look here, you'll find this, you'll find that. Like that. And then I read through, and then he got me into reading the Gaudiya articles, which there's a lot of stuff in there, but I had been reluctant to do that, because there's so much of it is one thing, and it wasn't collected, which is another thing too, because that was a major research job to collect it all, which he and the other devotees jointly had done that. They collected it and scanned it, and then understanding it is also very difficult, because the level of language is very difficult. So he got me into that, and then I read Saraswati Jayashree, which was an autobiographical work published in the Life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So these were my main sources. Like I say, it kind of happened to me. What do I expect readers to pick up from the book? Bhaktisiddhanta. His name and his being are non-different. Bhakti Siddhanta is pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasabhas Shunile Nahoi Prabhur Ulash. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any statement which is against Bhakti Siddhanta, or which is Rasabhas, conflicting mellows, that does not give pleasure to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you read the book, then you'll understand more, I hope. I got a letter from one devotee who said that his understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavism had increased thousands of times. Of course, he's my disciple, so he's likely to praise it more, but I trust that will be. Yeah, it's a very. Some basic principles are stressed by him. You don't have the chance to meet Prabhupada's godbrothers in the West. Disciples of godbrothers, grand disciples of godbrothers. They're not a different sampradaya, but there are differences, yeah. How can we have a healthy relationship with those devotees? It's difficult to give a simplistic answer. We often talk about the Gaudiya Math, but the Gaudiya Math is not one body. There are many bodies with different outlooks, and they, among themselves, they have varying levels of relationships, and ranging from friendly to distinctly unfriendly. And within the mats also there are members who will be friends with each other and not friends with each other and like that. So it's very difficult to give a simplistic answer. I have, obviously after so much interaction with devotees, I have friends and devotees I respect very much in Gaudiya Math. What I often say is that in the Gaudiya Math you'll find some devotees who are highly advanced, some who are complete nonsense, and a lot in between. And in ISKCON you'll find some devotees who are highly advanced, some who are completely nonsense, and a lot in between. Relationships on a personal level is easier. On an institutional level it seems to be more difficult, even among themselves. One of the main problems, as I see it, that hinders better relationships between ISKCON and various Gaudiya Math groups is the phenomenon which we would call poaching. That the members of the Gaudiya Math go, because ISKCON is quite active in preaching, and members of Gaudiya Math groups often they come to ISKCON gatherings and they meet newer people and take them, you want to please come and see our guru, he's a great saint, you should come see him, and then they initiate them on the spot, which is not very good etiquette. They probably think that they're doing a favor to the people by doing that, but we don't like that. It's probably not going to stop, but that is a hindrance to improved relationships. Most of our devotees are congregational members. Gatherings at home, should we invite them or shouldn't we? Well, what happens is that if we're trying to build up, a congregational group, and we want it focused on Prabhupada. I mean, there is the distinct difference between this goal and Gaudiya-mati, as much as we are focused on Prabhupada, and Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness in a certain way which we want to follow. And we have an affinity for Prabhupada, and an understanding of Prabhupada which is different from Gaudiya-mati groups. That they tend to see Prabhupada as just another Swami, or a great Swami, but our outlook on Prabhupada is different, and we study particularly Prabhupada's books, at least we're supposed to. So it may seem very innocent that if Gaudiya-mati people come, they and they chant with us, and what's the harm, they're all devotees. But then what you find is that they make friends with all the people you're preaching to, and they all go off to the Gaudiya-mati and get initiated there. And you may say, what's the harm with that? Well, let them do their own preaching, and I think there is harm in that, because they, in ISKCON, we do have standards for initiation, and we still tell people to take it slowly and carefully. Whereas in the Gaudiya-mati, as far as I know, all the groups, they initiate people without any pre-testing, and in many cases the people they initiate, they're not ready for initiation. It doesn't actually help them in Krishna consciousness to initiate them when they don't really know much about it, and they're not committed to following very seriously. I mean, I remember once in Chennai, some hippie boy walked into the temple, and I spoke to him, where are you from? I'm from Italy. He spoke a little English. And I said, what's your name? He said some initiated name. He said, actually, I don't know very much about it. I was just initiated. He really didn't know very much about it, but he was initiated. So, of course, they have a different understanding of initiation altogether, but I don't see that it helps. The people get stuck on a lower level, as they don't have to come up to the level of 16 rounds and 4 regulated principles, and having studied the Shastra to some extent and practiced, and then make what's supposed to be a commitment. So I find it unhelpful that this kind of instant initiation takes place. So, like I say, I have friends in the Gaudiya-mati, but this is a point of contention that's going to remain. So what would I advise Bhakti Sangha? The people who are organizing this, they probably won't be able to understand this point, and then the Gaudiya-mati people will say we're fanatical, and it may appear that we're fanatical, but I would say don't allow them to come, because we have experience of this again and again and again. And even they'll say that we won't, no, we're not going to take people away. And they do it again and again and again. So what should we do? We should, I would say, don't, if you take your initiation in another mat, go there. Don't come here. Sorry, but we have bad experience. I said that I shouldn't get involved in control. I can speak these kind of controversial issues when it's inside ISKCON. Mm-hmm. Anyway. ISKCON has changed significantly since I joined. How do I perceive these changes? What do you mean? What's my response to them? Largely, many of the changes, and if you could say changes in terms of it's expanded very much. I'm very disappointed about many of the changes and much of the direction of our movement. Do I feel at home in ISKCON? To a large extent, no. Well, as one of my godbrothers put it a few years ago, I never left ISKCON, but ISKCON left me. It's changed so much. As he also said in the course of that conversation, nowadays if you just do and say the same things that we did when Prabhupada was here and express the same attitudes, you're considered there's something seriously wrong with you. You've been listening to Bhaktivedanta Swami Sanjay. Understand that.
Yeah, because
lack of faith in an institution. Yeah. He meant what?
The management.
He meant the management. Well, the institution is not just the management, although it is shaped to a large extent by the management.
That's why I'm qualified.
Yeah.
And then he said
something about the influence. How that influences one's spiritual life. Yeah, certainly that will influence one's spiritual life. I'm sorry, I don't quite catch what you're saying. Someone says, I follow Prabhupada, I believe in Prabhupada. As this one is set up nowadays, you don't have faith that the management represents Prabhupada. Will that not block your progress? Well, obviously it's something like a child has faith in their father, and then the father becomes an alcoholic or something, and you naturally want to have faith in him, but at the same time you can't have faith in him because he's not acting as he should do. What to do? How to save oneself? Save ourselves. Well, keep association with devotees who we can associate with. That's the best we can do. That famous quote from the what is that? Snigdhi. I can't remember. It's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a Sanskrit. Sarathi. Swajati. Something like that. Yeah. Snigdhi. Although it's not exactly the same. It doesn't mean like that. Snigdhi. Sajati ashaye snigde sadho sangasvatovare. One should associate with devotees who are more advanced than oneself and are endowed with a similar type of affection to the Lord. So, like I said, it's not exactly the same context, but it's similar. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatarthanam Asvado Rasikaya Saha Shadati Ashne Snigdhi Sadho Sangat Svatovare. Save oneself on the process of Krishna consciousness is there. The Shastra, the holy name, are enlivening. The process of Krishna consciousness is enlivening. No one can take that away from us. We can go on with that. And we can preach. New people come. We can train them. Preaching is the essence. How can we become a power to preach to? Well, I don't know if we have to think about how I will become empowered. We just have to perform the activities which we're enjoined to do so, and then automatically the blessings will be there. You don't think how I have to get power first and then I'll preach, but rather we just take the order and execute it as best we can. And automatically, as I say, the blessings come. Yeah, purity is the force. To a degree, we've lost the purity, you might feel, by diluting philosophy and standards. Books are the basis. Well, this saying that, what's the order that it goes in? Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. That's often called as a Prabhupada saying, but it's not actually, you know. So we don't have to take... It is a good saying, but it's not something that Prabhupada said. Although it is a good saying, no doubt. But we should know that it's not like on the level of Shastra or something like that. So what you're saying about books are the basis? We've been preaching deluded philosophy. Well, it all goes together, doesn't it? It all goes together. Well, certainly if we preach a deluded philosophy, then ipso facto the purity is lost in that. Already the purity is lost by doing that. It's already a contaminated activity. And it leads to more, and it leads to more delusion. Diluted philosophy. In general, we don't preach. It seems that we don't preach as straightforwardly as we used to, and there's a lot of what's called indirect preaching. This morning someone came to me and told me he wanted to learn Vedic mathematics because then he could present it and then people would be impressed, and then he could tell them that he's a Hare Krishna devotee, and this way he could preach. I told him, why don't you just study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and preach Krishna consciousness directly, and people can take to that. Even if they are impressed by your Vedic mathematics, it doesn't mean they're going to become a devotee. So I told him also there's far more than enough indirect preaching. We need a lot more direct preaching. There's so much indirect preaching that if you enter a temple nowadays, you might find that you might think it's some kind of new age with yoga in one place and Ayurveda in another place, and what's the purpose of it all anyway? And you hear people who have been coming to our programs for years and no one's ever preached to them to surrender to Krishna or commit themselves to Krishna. All these things. So, yeah, we have to preach Bhagavad Gita as it is. How important is it to follow traditional ways of eating? What is that? Sita pragyasya kabhasha samadhi sita kesha. Sita pragyasya kima katamba shakima sita prajeta kima. How does a self realized person kabhasha? How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he sit? How are these influential? Well, we see that all the acharyas in history all followed these usages and they took it seriously. It's in Shastra, it's been followed by all our acharyas, so we shouldn't lightly dismiss or discard all these usages. They are important. Well, I'm writing a whole big book on it. There is a certain culture in the spiritual world. Often people conflate this in their minds with Indian culture, but then we have to understand that the traditional Indian culture, unlike cultures of other countries, are not they're not anthropological developments. The pristine Indian culture is the culture of the spiritual world. Krishna acts in a certain way, dresses in a certain way, eats certain foods, because it's Krishna, that's what he likes to do. And Indian culture, pristine Indian culture, reflects that. That's why these usages, they are useful for preparing us to enter the spiritual world. It gets us in line, our activities and our consciousness become accustomed to the activities that we are performing in our perfect situation, Siddha Swarup. So they are important. If we dress as a devotee, that helps us to feel like a devotee. If we dress like a kami, then the tendency is to feel more like a kami. So, yes. Balancing materialist duties and spiritual duties. All these are specifically mothers. Well, when I'm asked about this, I always say that the balance is 100% spiritual and zero material. That's what's required. That's what's required. But Lord Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that if they take shelter in me, women can also attain me. So traditionally, women had one child after another. That was common. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 13 children. That wasn't uncommon. That was probably in Croatia 2-3 generations ago, that was normal also. So where's the time for them to practice spiritual life? The Krishna says if they take shelter in me, they can attain me. So the art of dovetailing. Actually, a woman, the understanding is she gets all her spiritual advancement. This is the Vedic understanding, not necessarily the Vaishnava understanding. There can be a difference. She gets all her punya from serving her husband. And it's stated in Shastra that more important for a woman than observing fast, going to holy places, it's doing puja and all this, is simply to serve her husband. She gets everything by doing that, especially if he's a pious person. She shares in his punya. Even if he's not pious, then she gets punya by doing that. And he can be saved by her. And Prabhupada also mentioned in one letter that by serving the husband, the woman can become elevated also. But in the Vaishnava line, especially the Gauriya line, the women, they have to do their sadhana also. So, how to balance? Well, see the children as sent by Krishna. Devotees to serve. They're devotees who have to be served, and bring them up like that. What about chanting? Ask Sukanti. She told me she never stopped her 16 rounds. She never stopped her 16 rounds through her pregnancies and deliveries and bringing up the kids, so it is possible. I tell my young women disciples, young mothers, that they can, as a concession for them, they can use this counting machine to get it. In traditional society also, mothers wouldn't be so pressed as they are in the modern age, because traditionally family means joint family, so it takes a lot of pressure off the young mothers. It takes a lot of pressure off everyone. to stop chanting 16 rounds. If you JV get balanced, then you should follow them. That was predictable. These are all falling in the FAQ section. Frequently asked questions. A lot of stress is given on relationships. My take on relationships is we should all serve, give our blood, give our life for serving Krishna, serve together, serve the mission, push the preaching, try to save the conditioned souls, and automatically the relationship will come by that. And by sitting around and smiling at each other and talking about relationships, it won't do anything to help anyone. It's all superficial. Do something for Krishna. And while you're doing it, you may fight with each other and have disagreements and not talk with each other for some day or whatever. But the relationships get very thick by giving our blood together for Krishna. And just by talking about it, nothing happens. You have to go through difficulties together. Then the relationship becomes strong. And stick with each other through many difficulties. Help each other in difficulty. That's the way to make relationships. Automatically, you don't have to talk about it or even think about it. The influence of our past karma in the life of initiated devotees. Well, my seminars, all of that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the next session we'll discuss that more. In brief, whatever we did in the past will influence us as much as we allow it to. But we have to understand that whatever has happened, it's all a dream, and we belong to Krishna and hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna can wipe out everything, all our past. Krishna says that. We shouldn't mull too much on our past. Oh, it was like this, like that. It doesn't matter. Krishna is eternally in the present. Our relationship with him is eternal. That's reality. We don't have to think, well, I did this and I did that and that, and therefore my father beat me when I was a kid, and therefore this and therefore what does it matter? We're eternal servants of Krishna. It's all, whatever happened in the past is finished. Now we have to chant Hare Krishna. So don't worry too much. We're not the body, we're not the mind, and we're not the impression, that the stockpile of impressions that's in our mind. It's there. All right. So many crazy things come up in the mind, but it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with it. It seems like it is something to do with me, but it's not. Not me. In order to get rid of the anartas, we have to be aware of them. Well, that we should be aware of the anartas is suggested in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of them in Chaitanya Shikamrita. But again, it's not that you spend all the time, you pass stool and then you send it to the laboratory for analysis and, you know, just flush it down, you know, it's there. Just flush it down the toilet and get rid of it. And, alright, it's there. If there's some severe anartha, we may need to take some help or guidance in overcoming that. To tell you the truth, I'm not very good at advising on how to overcome anarthas because I don't know that much. I have a very simple approach. We just have to keep on going in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna will help us. There may be a more technical process, and there is. There are different things given, but for those who are attempting to preach and serve the mission of Prabhupada, then in that, in the fire of Sankirtan, everything will be burned up eventually. That is our hope. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. You can stop it and I'll copy it.